Good to get back into the routine. We are here to regather and to worship God. Some are finishing their shopping this morning, or others have taken maybe a last Sunday off. I'd like to share with you from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 61 through 69. We'll start with 61 and read through 69. Set this up for you. Jesus and the disciples have been having trouble with the crowds. And some of the crowds who heard Jesus' messages wanted to leave. And Jesus is disappointed about that. And so, in the beginning of this passage from 61, Jesus is talking now with his disciples. And he says, Jesus knew the disciples were grumbling about this, and he said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you were to see the human one going up where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life, and the flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, yet some of you don't believe." Jesus knew from the beginning who would not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I said to you that no one can come to me unless the Father enables that one to do so." At this, many of those following him turned away and no longer traveled with him. And Jesus sits down with the 12, his closest disciples, and he says to them, "Do you also want to leave?" And Simon Peter answered for them. And he said, "Lord, where would we go? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. We believe and we know that you are God's Holy One." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd like to offer you a little context of where this is set. This is Jesus on the hillside, having fed the crowd. In the Gospel of John, that comes way earlier than it seems to come in the other apostles' versions of the Gospel. But in this passage, it's very early, and Jesus has fed the crowd, and now they're satisfied, and they've begun to just kind of fall away. And Jesus is discouraged because he sees them drifting off, and he sits down with his 12 most personal friends, his most dedicated and loyal disciples, and he says to them, "Will you also go away?" You can almost hear the tears in Jesus' voice as he says that. He's disappointed, and he's hoping that his closest disciples won't disappoint him even more. Jesus asks them a question. He says, "Will you also go away? Do you also want to leave?" And Peter answers. And like a wise person for once, he answers a question with a question. Jesus says, "Will you also go away?" And Peter says, "Lord, where would we go? You are the one with the words of eternal life. We believe you and know that you are God's Holy One." This is a precious moment for Jesus to be reaffirmed by his most loved disciples. And he is asking them this most sincere question to try and discern their future and their commitment to him. Jesus cherishes their friendship. Being in ministry can be a lonely thing, and I think it was for Jesus. He sought times alone. He sought times to get away from the crowd, of course. But there were other times, I'm sure, that he was lonely. And when he was teaching a multitude of people whom he had just fed a miraculous lunch to, and they start leaving because they're satisfied and filled, and they don't really care anymore what he has to say, I can imagine that he felt pretty lonely. But Peter had a good answer, and I would hope our answer could be the same. Lord, where else would we go? Where else would we go to hear the words of life, to be fed in this way, and to have this holy opportunity to feed others? It's my prayer always when we gather here that some of us are feeding and some of us are being fed. And it's not about bread and cookies. It's about spirit and life. It's about hope and possibility. It's about prayer and removing some of the hopeless feelings that we can accumulate when we go through a week of life in the real world. Oh Lord, where else would we go but here to find the hope of Christ? Later in the New Testament, we find words that teach us how to stand strong in this. And I'd like to share with you now a second text to tell you about the armor of God. It's from the epistle to the Ephesians. Now, these are words that come much later. These are words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to Ephesus. But here's what he has to say, and here is how Christ rewards his people with strength, with courage and hope that help us to move forward and to make our stand in the world, to live through a first week of school, or to live through the challenges at the office or in your family and home. Here's what he says, the words of Paul the Apostle, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His powerful strength. Put on God's armor so that you can make a stand against the tricks of the devil. We aren't fighting against human enemies, but against rulers, authorities, and forces of cosmic darkness, spiritual powers of evil, even in the heavens. Therefore, pick up the full armor of God so that you can stand your ground when the days are hard and after you have done everything possible to still stand. So stand with a belt of truth around your waist, with justice as your breastplate, and put shoes on your feet so that you are always ready to spread the good news of peace. Above all, carry the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. Offer prayers and petitions in the Spirit all the time, and stay alert by hanging in there and praying for all the believers. As for me, he says, pray that when I open my mouth, I will get a message from God that makes the secret plan of the gospel known to people who hear it. I am an ambassador in chains, he says, for the sake of the gospel. Pray so that the Lord will give me the confidence to say what I have to say. This is the word of the Lord. I participated in a children's play about David and Goliath. I was the youth director at the time, so I was already a grown adult, and I was fully grown. And so I got the part of playing Goliath in the story of David and Goliath. Now, this is about armor. So remember that Goliath comes out wearing his armor, and David, he's been coached to wear his armor, but he is so little and insignificant that he can't even hardly hold the armor up. And so he sheds his armor and gets his slingshot out. he doesn't figure he's going to need his armor because he's going to be able to slay the giant. We were on a stage. This was a musical. It was done in front of the whole church family, and it was put on mostly by children, but I was the one adult in it, and I was the giant who got to play Goliath. And at one point in the story, as you might could imagine, I was supposed to fall onto the stage and make a big, loud sound, dramatic, like, you know, the giant has finally fallen. Well, when I got to that point, I kind of chuckled because I thought David was rather comical coming out to fight such a large giant, and that was my part. You know, I had my sword and I was there ready, and he was coming out, this little guy. But this little guy had a big slingshot, and he whirled his slingshot, and of course we were acting, but he whirled his slingshot, and the pebble that came out of it hit Goliath in the middle of the forehead, and I was supposed to fall backwards and die. And they had asked me to make it dramatic, but what I didn't know was that the legs underneath that end of the stage had not been locked quite securely. And so when I fell backward and hit the stage, the entire stage just kind of fell to one side and collapsed. It was surprising. And it was humorous because everybody in the room began to laugh. And I had a hunch that they were laughing at me. The best of armor can't protect you against foolishness. The best armor that you could possibly wear cannot always protect you from harm. It certainly can't protect you from doing something stupid and hurting yourself. But we do need to put on our gear. And in this passage of Scripture, we have all of this weaponry gear, this armor designed to represent parts of the Word of God. There is the girding around your waist, and the writer here tells us that is to be a sign of truth, and that it is truth with which we should gird ourselves. I know most of you do that all of the time. You never say anything that's wrong. You never say anything that's not true. Well, there is untruth all around us. We have to be very discerning and wise with what we hear, even from preachers. Perhaps especially from preachers who are proposing to tell you the word of the Lord. You have to listen to that with a critical ear. You have to listen for the truth in it. I think even when we read Scripture, it's not the reading of it that is truth. It is not the words themselves. It is the truth that they represent and that they call out for us. So even when you hear someone read Scripture, listen for the truth. Listen for that truth that rings with your conscience. Maybe even listen for that truth which is uniquely put there for you on that day because of the situation that you may be living in or the questions that you may have and that you may be seeking for answers for. I encourage you to listen for truth. It says that the breastplate piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness, of doing the right thing, even when it's easier to do the wrong thing. And to have your feet shod or put shoes on with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to take peaceful footsteps, to take steps toward peace in all your relationships, to guide your young ones toward peace in their relationships, to take steps that lead toward peace. Also taking the shield of faith, which is our confidence in which we can be able to be defended against all harm. The helmet of salvation, and most of all, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is the only weapon that seems to be an offensive weapon. The others are for protection, for defense. And here we come to the precious Word of God, which is to be used affirmatively, to be shared positively, and to be believed confidently. All of these are part of that armor with which you should not leave home. Don't leave home without it. You know, I've thought some about what we carry with us when we leave the house. And when we had high school and college age daughters living at home, I often thought this. They never left or went anywhere without their keys and their phone. And I'm kind of like that too. In fact, mine's right here beside me. I have my keys on my belt and my wallet in my pocket and my phone. But if my daughters were not going to leave home without their keys and their phone, then the older generation of us would never leave home without our keys, our phone, and our glasses so that we can see our phone, right? There are tools that we need. And what I've been talking about today is the spiritual tools that God, through Christ, gives us, through the Holy Spirit, gives us to protect us and give us hope. Those things without which we should never leave home. I know that we want to protect our kids, and we can't always do that. But one of the best ways is to teach them to protect themselves. Let's teach them not to be afraid, but to be confident. Let's teach them to trust God and to trust themselves and to wear their spiritual armor. To be wary and wise, yes, but also to trust in God. So this week when you send them off, help them get their gear on and get your gear on as well. Let us all be clothed with the full armor of God. Amen.